This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Have you ever thought about the link between food and identity? Chef and writer Marie Mitchell co-founded the Island Social Club. She wanted a place for second and third generation British people of Caribbean descent to connect with their heritage. And Marie joins me now. So Marie, tell us about the idea behind the Social Club.
Yes, so the Social Club was founded by myself and Joseph Pilgrim as an opportunity for us to, one, I suppose, is to develop our own understanding of our Caribbean culture, and then to also create a space because we felt as if there weren't enough of them in which people could come from all generations of Caribbean backgrounds, but particularly second and third generation who wouldn't have had the same exposure to some of the culture here, and create a space that we're able to come together and just celebrate the beauty of British Caribbean culture and Caribbean culture wider.
So how does this all help you connect with your, and I should say mine as well, Caribbean heritage?
I mean, food for me is just a massive vehicle. And there's something so beautiful about breaking bread with people that you can really find ways in which to connect. And also just engage in discussion that's not always necessarily easy. But I think because it's a commonality that we all share, that we have to sustain ourselves with food, that we're able to actually engage in conversations that's sometimes more challenging, or to just really delve within yourself. And, you know, food is incredibly political. And what's so beautiful about what features on your plate is it's a chance to actually understand history. And obviously then with that, you're able to then also engage in your own culture as well. So it's just a really beautiful metaphor almost of what's gone on before.
Yeah, it's an inclusive club though, isn't it? You know, you don't have to be of Caribbean descent to rock up there, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. That's the most beautiful thing. It's a space that's dedicated for Caribbean, people of Caribbean culture, but it's for anyone that wants to understand Caribbean culture with more depth. And essentially what we loved about it was a chance, and what we do love about it, sorry, is it's a chance for people to come and to learn without it being kind of explicit. And I think what we found, obviously, growing up, is we didn't get enough about our history and our culture within the schooling system. And so this is a chance for us to kind of be able to educate without, in ways that should exist already, but then open up the floor for everyone to kind of delve deeper themselves, whether you're from a Caribbean background or not.
You're a chef, but have you noticed there aren't very many cookery books written by Black women? Why do you think that is?
I mean, there's a lack of, I think, Caribbean cookbooks in general, but I also think, yeah, we're really massively underrepresented in the market. And I just think it's a misconception that it's partly related to the fact that people assume that there isn't a market for it, when I think it's the exact opposite. I do really believe that there are some amazing people that are doing things at the moment. And I do think I think things are changing. And I do hope that within the next couple of years, we really will see a difference within that sphere, because it's important that we're able to tell our own stories, because I think plenty of people want to hear them.
Why do you think, Marie, that food is so important to diaspora communities?
It's, you know, when you move from a place, there is a sense of belonging that you're always drawn back to. And I think food is an opportunity for you to always connect to that. You know, for me, my two food heroes are both my dad and my grandma, in that they are the two people that have probably been the most influential in terms of why I love food as much as I do. And through cooking, particularly with my grandma, it's an opportunity for me to kind of hear the stories that I don't always, that I wouldn't necessarily be exposed to. So I think what makes it so important is it's a chance to kind of own who you are, your own identity, your sense of like your rootedness. I think it's a really good way to think about it. It's like it roots you back of where you've come from, and sort of, you know, understanding where you, like the evolution that's happened within your culture, but also within yourselves and within your families. It really draws you back to that understanding.
Mm, that's really interesting you say that, it's your dad. It's my dad as well, just out of interest. But yeah, you know, very interesting you say that. Now, look, we've got to get to cooking, or talking about cooking this perfect roti. Tell me what it is, and then go into how you briefly make it.
So it's an unleavened flatbread. And you make it, I mean, I'd always say you make it with love, because it's definitely one of those things that I find I just become just mesmerised by. So it's the same sort of process you have initially with bread. You knead it and then resting. You separate it out into balls and then you rest again. And then this is my favourite part. You actually then roll it into like a circle, and you essentially make these cones. And it's a beautiful way in which you then get all the layers in, because you let that sit for an hour, or you can do it overnight or freeze them. And then when you roll it out, you have to be quite gentle to make sure you don't lose all those layers. And when you cook it, it just sort of falls apart. And this is the particular type of roti I'm talking about here, is called bus up shut. So it's, which refers to like a bust up shirt, because when you cook it, you then also have to beat it up so it looks as if it's falling apart. And then you kind of lift it and you can see all this flakiness, and it's just absolutely delicious, and a great way to mop up curries and delicious baked eggs and things like that.
Absolutely lovely. Yes. So how often would you be cooking roti?
I mean, when we were open, we were actually opening up again hopefully next year, we would do like a 2-day roti session every week, and then when the restaurant's open every single night. Now I'm at the moment, while we're kind of at home, I probably cook it every couple of weeks, but I always make at least doubles and then freeze them. So I kind of have roti on hand, to be honest.
Can you tell me why it's associated with the Caribbean particularly?
It comes from the Indo-Caribbean community, which I don't think people know enough about, who've like made an amazing, beautiful contribution to Caribbean cuisine. I mean, Caribbean cuisine generally is a huge melting pot of cultures, but the indentured labourers that were brought over after the slave trade then brought, essentially it's like a paratha, and that came with them, as well as other styles of roti, because there's other ones as well. And then that just kind of weaved its way into Caribbean cuisine. And, you know, the islands of Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago are the ones where it would have been most prevalent, but it's something that has kind of become synonymous around the Caribbean. But they're the ones that know how to make the best roti.
Are there any particular islands that would claim to being, you know, the ones who make the best roti?
I would probably say Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago, yeah. I mean, a very good friend of mine who is an incredibly talented chef, she is from Trinidad, and her roti is just delectable. Just everything she cooks is amazing, but her roti is amazing.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.